I was asked to introduce the drama and the performer, Alex, but will also be true to the words of Satchinandana Swami, that we'll have a nice appearance of one of the eternal associates of Sri Krishna. I met Alex about over 10 years ago when he was studying at New York University at the Tisch School of Dramatic Arts. That's the premier school of dramatic arts in America. And he was a classmate of Akinchana Krishna. I think many of you know him. He's done kirtan here. He also went to the same school. And Akinchana Krishna Das at that time was living at the ashram of 26 Second Avenue, and he started a Krishna Bhakti Club. So at that time, Alex had just a cursory association with devotees, maybe went to a temple once or twice. But that really, really deepened his Krishna consciousness, the association of the Bhakti Club and the devotees at the ashram of 26 Second Avenue. At that time, I also developed a very deep friendship with Alex. Then Alex graduated to pursue his career, and he moved to Washington, D.C., where he was successful as a director and actor in the very substantial theater world of Washington, D.C. At that time, Washington, D.C. is also one of the places which I regularly frequent. So when I would go to Washington, D.C., we would coordinate that we could meet at least for one afternoon. And we'd discuss theater and Krishna consciousness. During my last visit, we began to discuss the necessity for appropriately presenting Krishna consciousness to the burgeoning audience in America that was so ripe for spiritual life. I think Satchinandana Swami is visiting there. He has some experience of that in the venues that are available. Also, Janavi is very active in that. So we began to discuss that type of necessity. And also, Alex himself was feeling a necessity to tune more his dramatic skills with his ideals of Krishna consciousness. So together, we hatched an idea of how to present drama in a contemporary way, and we formed a drama group called the Monk and the Thespian. Thespian is kind of a more distinguished word for actor, not just someone who does commercials, but really has some skill in that regard. And we came up with three principles that we really wanted to focus on. One, it should be very practical. You should be able to do it, even if you have high ideals. So what we're planning on doing only takes two people, and really they don't even have to rehearse together. Also, it should be very accessible. It should be presented in a frame of reference that the outside people can appreciate, especially. And I think, Janavi, you'll also concur on this, that they're actually ready to hear Krishna Leela. It just has to be put in the frame of reference. So that's where the monk comes in. The monk is supposed to present the Leela in the proper frame of reference. And the third thing, it should be professional and aesthetic. So, you know, you have a professional actor that's good in his craft. So before I left, and I visited Washington in September, we got the blessings of Satchinandana Swami. Alex visited him in the Bhakti Center. And I loaded up Alex with various books on Krishna Leela. which he was to study. We weren't planning on doing the drama here, but Satchinandana Swami requested. Alex has been staying with me for 2 weeks on the other side of the hill, so he just put the drama together today. It won't be very long. Alex also asked me to make a humble request. He is quite proficient in his art of dramatic arts, but he doesn't feel yet very mature in devotion. So he requested me to make an appeal, especially to Mother Jagatarini, who is both professional in dramatic arts and mature in devotion. No, seriously. To please listen to it critically, and then if sometime, I know you're very busy, you can spare some time for him where you can discuss it. He really wants mentoring in how to combine the two together. So we really humbly request that. And of course, Burijan Prabhu and any other senior devotees, and of course, Satchinandana Swami, he's an aspiring disciple of Satchinandana Swami. He's found the right guide if he wants to get deep in Krishna consciousness and have full expression for his creative and individual nature. So that's there. Now the drama begins. Now, okay, mark that. The drama is beginning now. Okay. Okay. To really appreciate what we're doing, you have to understand the history of the drama. About, I guess it was 20 years ago, a good friend of mine and a Sanskrit scholar, Satyanarayan Das, came to me to inform me that in Vrindavan, several learned pandits or babajis had passed away, and they had no heir to their treasure. And what was their treasure? Their treasure was their libraries. So we began to purchase some of those libraries. And the last library that was purchased, the library of Pran Gopal Babaji, was particularly interesting. It had some rare books, but there was one book that was very, very unique, called Hari Lila Prakash, and it was by a Sri Damodar Bahulanath. And what was unique about this particular recount of Krishna Lila, it wasn't just a third-person recount, but it was a first-person narrative by one of the cowherd boys of Krishna Lila named Vasant. The interesting thing also is that this Sri Damodar Bahulanath claimed to be a seminal succession in the family of Vasant Sukha, and that this story of this first-hand account of someone in Krishna Lila has been carried down for thousands and thousands of years. Now, this is the 17th century. And that finally one of the descendants, Sri Damodar Bahulanath, has written it down. Now, what I found particularly interesting about this book is the appendix. And in the appendix, there's a very interesting chapter called Krishna, A Reasonable Conception of Divinity. And apparently, Sri Damodar Bahulanath, he was concerned that if he recounts the Leela in the 17th century, it would be considered mundane or mythological. So he listed these 7 points to express the reasonable conception of the divinity of Krishna, which I'll read from the text, which was translated by our Nityananda Das. So try to listen really carefully. Then I'll read from the 16th chapter of Hari Lila Prakash, the killing of the Kaliya serpent. Okay, it's a very short section. 1. Listening? It is a universal principle that everyone is seeking pleasure, and that pleasure is pure or unconditional love. 2. If pure love is a universal principle, then why should it not also reside in its source, the ultimate reality or the divine realm? 3. As unmotivated love requires an object and a subject to exchange love, there must be within the non-dual ultimate reality a type of discrimination. In other words, occurring within, but not separate from, the one harmonious absolute reality, there must be personality, form, colors, and movement for the exchange of pleasure and love. 4. The flow of movement in the one absolute divine substance is also known as Shakti, or energy. As energy is meant to serve or please its source, the essence of energy is thus prema, a flow of devotion to God, the source of all energy. 5. The Vaishnav conception of reality is thus divine lila, a drama that stages the perfect expression of divine love, an exchange of devotion between Sri Krishna, the source of all energy, and Radha, the supreme Shakti. 6. The great Vaishnav teachers thus exemplify through their writings rasa, the height of divine love. 7. That which we appreciate gradually belongs to us. Thus, by regularly hearing with understanding and faith the poems and dramas that embody rasa, divine selfless love gradually awakens in our hearts. So now I'll just read some, and then Alex will perform. By unbounded mercy, this is Vasant Sukhas. By unbounded mercy, I was eternally graced with the unlimited wealth of serving Vrajendranandana Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Whoever hears these same pastimes with faith will enjoy the same fortune. Who then could be satiated when hearing the magnanimous pastimes of Gopal, one who tends the ears with nectar? Upon returning home late one day from the forest, due to my dear friend Krishna's horrifying but glorious struggle with the ferocious serpent Kaliya, I approach my worried mother, who is anxiously waiting at the door of our home with her arms crossed and a stick in our hand.
Mother! Mother, I have just seen the most amazing... Yes, I know I'm late, and I know you were worried. You were right, it is my fault, but there's something... No, I didn't do this on purpose. Mother, no, it's about Krishna. Yes, Krishna. I promise I did not mean to cause you worry, but my friend Krishna was in trouble, and so were the rest of us. My friends, that is. And then, well, Krishna wasn't in trouble, and, well, neither were we. You will listen without punishing me, Mother? I have seen the most wonderful thing. We were out in the fields taking care of the cows. While we worked, we were saying how glad we were that Krishna and Balaram had taken care of the nasty demons in the Talavana forest. Now all the ripe fruits were ready to be picked, and the poor innocent animals no longer needed to be afraid, and we were so happy and... What, Mother? Oh, why am I late? Right. Well, with the warm sun shining so brightly and after so much walking and hard work, we became very thirsty. Krishna said to follow him to the Yamuna, so we fell in step behind him and watched his feet leave perfect imprints in the dust and grass. When we reached the water, our throats were so parched that we drank and drank and, well, what we didn't realize was that the water was, well, poisoned. I know, Mother, I'm sorry. It sounds terrible, but I'm alive now. I mean, not that I was dead before. At least I don't think so. I know it sounds confusing. All I know is, I drank the water and I started to feel very funny. Next thing I know, the other boys are clutching at their throats and falling to the ground. My head began to ache. My body became very weak. I was gasping for air. And I felt my life slipping away moment by moment. And just as my eyes closed, I thought for the last time. I felt a warmth flowing through my body and filling my heart with love. I opened my eyes, and Mother, I was staring directly into Krishna's smiling face. The pain was nowhere to be found. All fear and worry had left me. I looked around and the other boys were no longer writhing on the ground. They looked as surprised and happy as me. We knew somehow that Krishna had saved us from the poisoned water. But better than not being dead was waking to Krishna's friendly face greeting me. If only every moment of awakening could be filled with such a happy sight. Always our protector, always our best friend. Well, no, Mother, that's not the end of the story. It gets better. Do you want me to continue? Oh, you very much want to hear the rest of my story. I'm glad. Does this mean I'm not in trouble? Nope, didn't think so. Well, this part is scary, Mother. We looked into the water to see if we could find what had made it so deadly. The most frightening image. A giant serpent with many heads swirled in the Yamuna, skin black as night, eyes red as flame, and spewing clouds of nightmares from his gaping nostrils. I shook with fear, rooted to the spot, Mother. The air around the Yamuna was so foul, the lush grass was turning brown and brittle, and the very life was being sucked out of the trees. I noticed a bird flying overhead towards the banks of the Yamuna. I called out a warning, "Turn back!" But it was too late. As soon as it flew into the poisonous clouds, it fell down dead. Tears welled up in my eyes. This beast was destroying Vrindavan, our beautiful home. I looked to my friends, and their faces looked the way I felt, except for Krishna. He looked angrier than I'd ever seen him, so determined. I didn't know what he intended to do, but already his bravery was lessening my fear. I could see in his face he was thinking, "Serpent, how dare you poison these waters? How dare you harm the beauty of this spot where so often I have rested with my friends on the soft grasses? You have turned to ash. Enjoyed the sweet fragrances that you have turned to waste. How dare you harm the people and animals of Vrindavan?" Krishna strode forward and he climbed one of the dead kadamba trees. When he reached the top branches, he tightened the cloth of his belt as if he was about to do something that required his full effort. He waved his arms like this. "My friend Krishna." He looked so brave and powerful. It felt like cheering, Mother. Then Krishna leapt into the water. But Mother, I noticed that other people are listening to my story. My words have attracted the saintly souls of Vrindavan. These men and women, young and younger, they were all there at the banks of the Yamuna. They can say whether my story is true. Which reminds me, why were you not at the Yamuna, Mother? A calf was injured by a flaming rock falling from the sky. Well, I see that you were overcome with grief and worry, Mother, but protecting the cows is one of our most important duties. I know why the rock fell, Mother. Yes, because Krishna seemed to be in great danger. When Krishna jumped into the water, he created a splash so large it looked like a mighty tidal wave. We ducked away from the poisonous boiling water, and for a moment we could not see the Yamuna or anything in front of us as the water cascaded over the surrounding land. And when we could see again, the kadamba tree that Krishna had jumped from, the one I promised was dead, was now very much alive and blossoming with yellow flowers. Krishna swam in the water towards the many-headed serpent, slapping the water with his arms and calling out to the demon with such a mighty roar that I would have covered my ears to the deafening sound had it not reminded me of the most beautiful music coming from Krishna. So like the songs that Krishna would sing when strolling through the forest, accompanied by a symphony of birds. This serpent became so enraged. But how could you be angry at Krishna when such wondrous melodies were filling the air? When his playing in the water made him glisten like a cloud in his yellow silken garments? When his sportive smile was a true reflection of his pure heart? None of this seemed to matter to the serpent, as he struck at Krishna like lightning, biting him on the chest and wrapping him in his coils. I immediately called out in grief. I fell to my knees. The cows began to wail, and then the earth shook. Rocks of flame fell from the sky. Could Krishna be dead? Oh, Krishna. Soon all the residents of Vrindavan were appearing by the Yamuna, all demanding to know what had become of Krishna, but I was so shocked I couldn't speak. Mother Yashoda tried to run into the festering, boiling water, but the other women stopped her, and in desperation she fainted in their arms. The only words that would comfort her were the triumphs of Krishna. I have never seen a more piteous sight, Mother. My heart breaks to think of her pain as she watched Krishna's limp body being crushed in the serpent's coils. Nanda Maharaj and the other men also tried to rush into the water, but Balaram stopped them in their tracks. All around, the residents of Vrindavan were in fits of lamentation. I wished that there was something I could do to save Krishna, but I was left hopeless. Then as Balaram pushed the men back from the water, I noticed his face. And how strange, Mother. While the rest of us wept and called out to Krishna, he was smiling, as if he knew all would be well. The gopis' faces said they now saw the world as vacant without Krishna. Looks of despair so heavy, I never wished to see such pain again. And Balaram smiled. I'm not joking when I say I felt like my life was ending, Mother, for without my friend Krishna, I wouldn't want to be alive. But Balaram smiled. And soon I saw why. For an eternity, I prayed for someone to save Krishna. Then, when all the animals and people of Vrindavan were present, Krishna freed himself from the serpent's coils. The great beast tried to bite him with his poisonous fangs, sharp as daggers, his nostrils flaring like cauldrons of hatred. But Krishna began circling around, so agile, so swift. I saw the serpent begin to tire, and oh, wonder of wonders, with a single bound, Krishna climbed to the top of the serpent's hood. I gasped in admiration, my breath caught in my throat. Krishna, the true artist that he is, began to dance on the serpent's heads. The rays of the sun shone through the jewels on the beast's head and made Krishna's feet appear glowing red as he ducked and span, leapt and twirled, his lotus feet moving so fast no one could ever hope to dance in such a way. And suddenly, the sound of music could be heard. Certainly the heavenly musicians, pleased by the beauty of Krishna's dance, hoped to increase its wonder. The more the serpent tried to bring his hoofs to strike at Krishna, Krishna would simply knock them down with his dancing feet. I was awestruck. But it felt like watching a disturbed mind saying it wasn't defeated, saying it still had power, even though Krishna's lotus feet had destroyed any hope of its survival. And we could see from the shore that the beast was becoming exhausted, for from his mouths came blood and poison and even fire, but still the dance went on. What a display of art and bravery. Krishna's feet would knock down each hood so fast, it appeared the serpent was bowing down before Krishna, and the poison and blood began to appear like garlands of flowers being offered at Krishna's feet. The serpent's wives came forward, their garments and jewels all a mess as they rushed in their distress and prayed to Krishna to have mercy on their demon husband. And they begged that their husband must have had many lifetimes of piety if he now had Krishna's lotus feet upon his head. And I thought that the most beautiful prayer. Krishna stopped his dance and ordered the serpent to leave this place at once and never return, never poison the waters of the Yamuna again or harm the residents and land of Vrindavan. There were cheers from the onlookers. I wept tears of joy. Krishna had saved our home, but was also safe from harm. The relief. What would any of us do if we lost Krishna? So you see, Mother, it was out of concern for my very best friend that I was unable to come home. I have never seen a more amazing sight than Krishna's serpent dance. I am happy to see you safe, Mother, and hope you will forgive me. And that we will tell this story over and over again forevermore.